Not only must we go back to the hard places and deal with the issues that we've been avoiding, but we will need to deal with unfinished business by refusing to procrastinate on that which keeps you from your call.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. It's great to be with you once again on the air. You know, I was thinking about the fact that there are so many talented, gifted people that are listening to my voice right now that are wondering, God, where do you want me to serve? Maybe you're one of those individuals that has gotten caught up into your job but are doing very little for the kingdom of God and can't quite seem to find the place that you fit in. Well, if you're looking for a place to serve, I have a great opportunity for you. In 1995, seeing some of the great needs around Chicago, especially among youth, myself and a core of people started what we call now New Life Centers. New Life Centers is dedicated to showing the love of Jesus Christ in practical ways in some of the most underserved neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. We primarily work with youth, many of them gang-involved youth, providing mentoring, helping them understand that there's another life that they can engage in. We're always looking for mentors, people that are willing to say, I will set aside a day or two and just spend time with the youth that's troubled. So if you're interested in helping out with youth, whether it's helping them do their homework or whether it's helping just spend some time with them, play some basketball with them, take them out to eat, get involved in their lives, then we have a place for you in New Life Centers. And if you would go to our website at nlcenters.org, you'll find information there where you can ask, hey, I'd like to volunteer. I'd like to help out a troubled youth and make a difference. So if you're looking to utilize your gifting and have some spare time, I would challenge you to go to your website and look at New Life Centers to help mentor a youth that may need some help that you can provide. God bless you, and let's get ready for today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We continue with Pastor Mark's book series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. Our text continues in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 21. Here's Pastor Mark with the second half of his message called Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business.
God got mad at Moses because he had unfinished business in his life, and so God began to take Moses' life away when he was in that motel room, and his wife, who realized what was happening, grabbed a flint stone, a piece of sharp stone, and she chased after her son, who was probably about 12 years old, most scholars believe at the time. Can you just see it? Okay, son, come here. I got a rock. Mommy, come here, son. She cuts off a foreskin of his private parts while he's screaming and yelling to be able to save her husband Moses from dying. Why? Because Moses had unfinished business. Let me tell you something about unfinished business, by the way. When you have business that you have unfinished and you refuse to do what God has called you to do, oftentimes the people that are around you, it will fall into their laps to do what you should have done. And the people that are close to you will resent you for not doing what you should have done because it falls into their laps to do it. By the way, men, can I tell you this? When you abdicate your spiritual place of responsibility, when you don't do what God has called you to do in your household, with your family, with your marriage, with your children, then the responsibility of leading your household, of handling your kids, of dealing with your finances, of fixing your marriage, falls into the laps of your wife. And your wife may do it, but when she looks at you, she's going to resent you for being passive and not doing what God called you to do and forcing her to do what you should have done in the first place. I've always thought, by the way, the son that was circumcised, his name was Gershom. I've always kind of thought what would happen when he was 25 years old, how he would tell the story. I can picture him in a 12-step group. Hi, my name is Gershom. When I was 12, I still have nightmares about it. Still can't get it out of my mind. Why? Unfinished business. Should have been dealt with when he was a little boy, but instead they waited until he was too old. Unfinished business comes back to bite us at the wrong time. It comes back to haunt us at the right time, and it will keep us from our call. Listen to me. I want you to hear me well. Every person in this auditorium, if you have the Spirit of God, God has a purpose and a plan. You have a unique design and ability. You have been called to influence. It starts with your life and your family's life. It bubbles over to your community. You have gifts and talents and callings upon your life that when you discover what they are and the Holy Spirit fills you, it will impact other people's lives. I believe you have a destiny to your life. But when you have unfinished business and you're ready to go to the destiny that God has called you to, you get to the crossing border, and sometimes there you'll be held back because you haven't dealt with what God was asking you to deal with a long time ago. That's called unfinished business. So the first thing that has to happen is we have to go back to the hard places and deal with the issues that we've been avoiding. Secondly, not only must we go back to the hard places and deal with the issues that we've been avoiding, but we will need to deal with unfinished business by refusing to procrastinate on that which keeps you from your call. Refuse to procrastinate that which keeps you from your call. You see, not only did God say to Elijah, go back the way you came, then he said, and go to the desert of Damascus. Go. I expect you to go. I don't expect you one day to go. I expect you to go now. Let me just say a word on that. We need to understand that delayed obedience turns into ultimately disobedience. I know a lot of people that have deceived themselves into thinking that they're obeying, but they're not obeying. They're procrastinating on their obedience, thinking that one day I'm going to obey, but in the process, you're disobeying. Everybody in this room that has children understands how it goes. When I tell my 15-year-old son, Grant, go clean your room. I'm going to, Dad. An hour later, Grant, is your room clean? I'm still working on it, Dad. 2 hours later, have you cleaned your room? I'm going to get it done, Dad. Let me tell you, ultimately, that becomes disobedience because procrastination on doing what you know to do is right ultimately becomes disobedience. It's not obedience. And some of us think that we're obeying because you're looking for the right timing to do what you want to do. I know I need to talk to that person and get things right for that person, but I'm looking for the right timing. How many of you have been waiting for the right timing, but it's 3 years later and you're still waiting for the right timing? Don't raise your hand. I don't even want to see it. But you're thinking, well, I got to be in the right mood. They have to be in the right mood. We both have to smile. I have to be in church, have a Bible, run into them in the hallway. They nod at me. I nod at them. We're both in the spirit. Then we'll talk. And you're still waiting for that moment, and it's just not happening. Because sometimes it's an excuse to say, I'm waiting for the right timing. How many of you know sometimes we just need to do it and not wait anymore for the right timing? Sometimes you just need to step out and obey and stop waiting for the perfect timing because there is no wrong time to walk in obedience. We just need to obey. I know I need to do it. Let me do it now. Let me obey. So delayed obedience is disobedience. Issue postponement will delay the immediate discomfort, but it will multiply exponentially the future pain. Let me say that again. Issue postponement will delay the immediate discomfort. In other words, it makes me feel like I don't have to deal with anything uncomfortable right away. but it will multiply exponentially the future pain. Whatever you don't deal with right now, when you have to deal with it in 2 years from now, it'll be harder to deal with 2 years from now than it is to deal with now. So don't postpone it. Start dealing with things now. I believe this is true because I believe when we avoid unfinished business, ultimately it'll derail us from our call and stop us from reaching our destination. Always does that. Let me just tell you a story that happened a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, probably about 10 years ago. I was in Spain. And my mother lives in Spain and we were visiting her. I was with my family. And my son, who was about 9 years old at the time, my oldest son, Josiah, we were in a store, a souvenir store, and he saw a knife that was like a souvenir knife. And he said, "Dad, can I get that knife?" I said, "No, I don't like the idea of you having a knife because, you know, it's a knife. Dad, I'll leave it on my shelf. It's a souvenir. It's like a sword. It's from Spain. It's got the handle on it." So he convinced me. So I bought him this knife as a souvenir to leave on his shelf. And so he was so excited about it. He was going to come home, put it on his shelf. And it was kind of like one of these Spain cool knives that he would have. When we got ready to leave from Spain to come back to Chicago, this was again about 10 years ago when all of the airports were on high alert because there had been a bombing in Victoria Station in downtown London. You remember that? There was a bombing down there. And so all of the airports were on high alert because of terrorist attack. So we got in our car, went to the airport in northern Spain called Bilbao. We checked went through security checkpoint with our backpacks on, took the whole family in, got on the airplane. We were about a half hour into our flight. My son was sitting across the aisle from me, and I hear him get all excited, and he looks at me and he says, Dad, guess what? I said, "What, son?" And out of his backpack, he pulls a knife, and he says, "Look what I found." I said, "Put that away real fast." Not a good idea in an airplane to have a 4-inch blade out. Put it back now. So he put it back real fast. I said, "Leave it there." And I'm thinking, this is a bad thing that he finds it on the airplane. How come security didn't catch that? Anyways, so we land in Heathrow Airport in London, which is one of the most secure airports in the world. They're on high alert because their city only weeks before has been bombed.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business. It's part 5 in our series called Unstuck. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 21. His message, walk towards your unfinished business.
We have a security checkpoint before we go into the airport, and he says, "Dad, what shall I do?" I said, "Just leave it in your backpack. If they find it, we'll just tell them the truth that you forgot it and found it there." So we go through the machines. He puts his backpack on the machine. They take it through the scanner. It comes out of the scanner on the other side, and no one alerts it. Nothing. He picks it up, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, they didn't catch it." So I say, "Okay, I'm not going to go through another security checkpoint. I'm just going to take it and I'm going to go to the airline attendant. I'm just going to be honest and say this is what happened." So I went to the airline attendant and said, "You know, you're not going to believe this. My son put a knife in his backpack and went through security. Isn't that crazy? And so I don't want to take it again. Can you put it in our suitcase?" And she smiled and she said, "Wow, that's amazing, sir. I'm going to have to call security," she said. So she called security over. Security looked at me and said, I explained it to him. "Isn't that crazy, officer? Look what happened." He said, "Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going to have to call the police." Within 5 minutes, the London SWAT team shows up with machine guns and bulletproof vests and dogs and saying, "Where's the suspect?" I'm like, "Suspect? I'm just a passenger. This is what happened. I should have left it in Spain. We didn't catch it." So they took me into an interrogation room and for a half hour interrogated my son. He told me, sir, under law, we should arrest you and take you to jail right now because this is an illegal weapon in the airport. Finally, he said, but you know what? We kind of like Americans here because, you know, they're okay. And so I called our commander. He's going to let you go this time. We almost missed our plane, almost got delayed, almost went into jail. Why? Because I was carrying something with us inadvertently that should have been left behind. Are you tracking with me? I was taking something with me inadvertently into the journey that I was taking to the place that I was supposed to be going. My destination was right. The vehicle in which I was traveling was right. My intentions were right, but I had something with me that I shouldn't have had with me. I should have left it behind. I should have searched our bags better and not taken it on my journey. Some of you are inadvertently traveling with unfinished business. When you go through God's radar detector, scanning machine, God never makes mistakes, by the way. Heathrow, London, you may get through, but not God's scanning machines. When he does a scanning, he realizes, hey, you got something in your heart you should have left 2 years ago back there. You should have dealt with it, eliminated it, taken out of your life, but you've been traveling with it. You forgot that you had it on you. You've been traveling to your destination, unaware that you have unfinished business. You knew when you started, but now you've forgotten that you have unfinished business. And it will come back to bite you at an inconvenient time unless you choose by God's grace, I need to deal with this now. Moses almost didn't get to liberate the people of Israel because he had unfinished business. Elijah almost didn't get to turn the nation of Israel around because he was running from his problem and unwilling to deal with his business. And it's interesting to me, listen to me well, this is real important. If you don't know the geography and you don't know what happened, you could see that the Bible says, and God said, go back through the desert of Damascus, and it would mean nothing to you. But let me just explain to you what the desert of Damascus was. God said, go back, and then he said, and go back through the desert of Damascus. Do you remember what happened in the desert of Damascus? The desert of Damascus is where Elijah ran to when he was discouraged and depressed. It was where Elijah became so discouraged and so despondent that he was suicidal. It was Elijah's darkest moment in life, his worst failure. His most painful experience had happened in the desert of Damascus. And God says to Elijah, go back to the place where you had a lot of pain. Go back to your darkest moment. Go back to the place that you want to avoid. Go back to that moment that you want to forget and wipe out of your mind. Because if you don't go back there with my presence, if you don't face it with my energy and my presence, it will always be a dark place that you run from. I'm going to go, this time when you go back there, you're going with my presence. I'm going to rewrite what Damascus means to you. Now let me tell you what I get out of that. God wanted Elijah to go back through that place of pain. I don't know what you've been running from or not dealing with. Maybe it's an abortion that you had 15 years ago that no one knows about but you. It was a one-night stand. You'd gotten a little drunk. He meant nothing to you. You were embarrassed. You found out you were pregnant. You said, I can't afford to have a baby right now. And you went to that place and you got that abortion. You thought it was all over. You tried to forget about the pain. But once in a while you think he or she would be 15 now. They'd be 12, 15, 16. There's this inner shame, inner pain. You haven't talked to anybody about it, dealt with it. People think it's over. No one would even know it's a part of your story. But once in a while, it surfaces. and you get real emotional about it. It's a dark, ugly place that you've run from but never dealt with. Maybe it's an issue you had with your father. I know he passed away already. But you know what? There's a conversation you never had with your father while he was alive. A conversation of how you felt, how hurt you were, how abandoned you felt, how you felt like you could never measure up to his expectations, that you never really quite felt you heard clearly from him, "I love you, son." There's a pain there, an anger, a difficulty, something that you haven't shared and talked with and gone to and really dealt with there. You just avoided it, acted like it didn't bother you, run from it, but it's a dark place. Maybe no one knows about it, but that time that you took those pills and you slept really late into the next day, but really inside you were saying, "I want to die. I hope I don't wake up the next morning. I just want to end it all because there's so much pain, confusion. I'd rather die than live." Maybe you survived, but there was a dark, dark moment of loneliness, darkness, depression, where you cursed everything you knew in sight, hated everyone in the world. It was a dark, hurtful moment. Maybe you're in this auditorium and you're a woman and you went through the tragedy of being raped. It's a shameful thing to you. You don't talk about it. Maybe no one knows about it. Maybe you knew him. Things got out of control. You've lived with that. Blame yourself. Feel the shame. It's a dark moment, difficult place. You know, we all have those places of pain in our life, places that are dark. And here's what happens when we don't deal with it. Here's what happens when we don't bring them to God. Here's what happens when we don't walk through those places again. We always avoid those places, walk around those places, run from those places. And as long as you're running, as long as they have you in fear, you never deal with the issues. It'll always drive you to a place you don't want to go. God said, "Elijah, I want you to walk back, right back through the desert where you were suicidal, discouraged, doubting my presence, so dark, so painful, so difficult. I want you to walk through that desert again." Listen, because if he didn't walk through it again, if we don't walk through that desert again, then some of us, we carry it with us the rest of our life. So when you come to church, instead of raising your face to the heavens and experiencing the incredible grace of God, you come in and you hang your head low because all you feel is shame and dirt and guilt. You've never dealt with it. Some of us don't feel, we feel like we're half a person because we hold this secret inside. This damage, this dark place. We don't feel like we can be used of God because there's a sense of guilt and shame and lies about us because you've never gone back to those places with the presence of God. You walk through that place maybe without God, but you've never gone back there with God's presence. And God says, "Go back. Deal with it. Bring me into it. Feel the pain. Release. Let me wash you. Release other people. Let me forgive you. Let me heal you. Let me deal with those issues because I want you whole and I want you in your call." That's going to the hard places with the presence of God. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright." Lastly, number three, not only must we return to the issues, refuse to procrastinate in going to the hard places, but we must also take bold steps. Deal with unfinished business by taking bold steps of faith-filled obedience.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. And tonight was the second half of his message called Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for part 6, Rediscover Your Boundaries. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.